This is the second episode in a series called Raising Investment Money for Self-Storage. Last week, we talked about the who investors are, who potential partners are, and what the difference is in general. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what you would actually might offer investors in a self-storage deal. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Self-Storage Quick Start Academy, which houses the Self-Storage On-Demand Boot Camp. The boot camp is designed, it's a four-phase strategy. It's designed to take you from wherever you are now all the way through putting your first self-storage facility into service. If you'd like more information about the Self-Storage Boot Camp, there'll be a link below. So last week we touched on who investors are and what they have their attention on. Today I want to talk in general terms about what type of deals you may offer these investors. Now, I will state it in every episode in this series, but a good attorney who knows about private placements and syndication, preferably who's done it in storage before, but that's not critical. That attorney is going to be your best friend if you're in the fundraising business or raising capital, using other people's money to help you get in the self-storage business. Now, I'll say from the outset, there's absolutely no way I can tell you what to offer your investors. I'm not smart enough. I'm not an expert in it. I've done it on my deals, but there are people who know way more about syndication and private placement than I do. I'm going to share with you in general some of what I've seen working with individual investors who will put their money into my self-storage deals and get returns, what they're interested in and what they're looking for and how we've structured our deals. So I'm going to assume when you talk to an investor about giving you money, you have a deal standing still or have your eye on a deal, and it's a very specific deal with a very specific location, and it's something that an investor can say yes or no to, as opposed to a blind pool where you're just raising money, telling them to give you money to invest in self-storage. Now, if you're just getting going, my coaching is don't go the blind pool. You want to have a very specific deal. Now, you may talk in general with people and get soft commitments where people will say, yes, if I see a deal like that, I will invest with you. But you're not getting their money. You may be getting soft commitment like an interest level, but it's only when And for this series, I'm going to assume it's only when you present a very specific deal for them to invest in that you will have any chance of getting money from that particular investor. So this is deal-specific investment. And when we're talking about deal-specific investment, in general, there's a million different variations. No two deals are the same. But in general, there's two types of deal structures that you can put together. One is a deal structure where we'll call it a liquidity event. There's a deal structure with a liquidity event, and then there's a deal structure where there is no liquidity event. Said another way, there is a deal structure where an investor will give you money, and in somewhere in the process of that, of owning that storage deal, they're going to get their money back, and then the LLC or the company is going to continue owning that till they sell it. Liquidity events when they get their money back. In our documents, we call that a conversion. The other type of structure is an investor is going to give you money. That money is going to stay in the deal the whole time that that company owns the deal. And then when it's sold, the investor will get their money back first, and then everybody splits the profits. liquidity event, non-liquidity event. So as a sponsor, someone putting the deal together, why in the world would you choose a liquidity event? Well, we do, and we do for a very simple reason. Because by having liquidity events, I can own a much larger percentage of the company. Let me explain how we organize our deals and what we offer our potential investors. Not that this is the best way to do it, this is how we do it. My goal was to create a portfolio using other people's money. I had no track record in the self-storage space. So I wanted to create a deal where investors felt safe, where I could use their money to grow a portfolio. And yes, I was making some money in the initial years, but I wasn't investing their money to generate ongoing cash flow from me out of the gate. I was using their money to create a portfolio and to create wealth. So I told our investors that we will be looking at deals where you give me your money, I will give you a preferred return. The way we structured our deals was they would get a preferred return of, as low as 8. When we first got going, it was as high as 12. And by year 5, years 4 through 6, we will give you your money back plus any unpaid preferred return. Now, in that particular deal structure, we owned 70% of the LLC. The sponsors did. My partners and I who signed on the loan, we owned 70% of that deal. The investors owned 30. Sometimes it was 65-35, depending on the risk of the deal, but we own the vast majority of that LLC. Now, the investors got all or up to 90% of the cash flow, because that's what it took to hit that preferred return in the initial stages. And we would buy projects, do a value add play, get it stabilized, then quickly as we could refinance it, give them their money back, because after the conversion, they get their money back. We got 70% of the ongoing cash flow, and we got 70% of the sale proceeds. The investors have all their money back, but they still get 30% or 35% of the ongoing cash flow and 35% of the sales proceeds when we sell it. Investors felt very safe because they knew we were motivated to add the value and refinance it and give them their money back as quick as we could, because that's when we start making serious money. We made property management fees, maybe a little bit of the cash flow, although we would never take it. If there was excess cash flow, I would give it to the investors to reduce what we owed them when we paid them back. But the investors got the money, the majority or all of the cash flow, until they get their money back. And then we get the vast majority for the life of that deal. That's one structure. Why would we do that? Well, we would do that, A, so I could use their money, B, because we owned a larger percent of the deal. The other way you can do it is investors will put the money in, and there is no liquidity event where we give them their money back within a certain time frame. Their money's just riding in the deal, the whole ownership of the deal. That's great too. Usually though, investors will demand a much larger percent of the ownership. Very often it's even over 50% of the ownership, which I get. If I put all my money in a deal, the sponsors put little or no money in the deal, I'm going to want a large percent of the cash flow. Why? Because my money's going to be tied up for a longer period of time as a rule. So talk with your attorney, depending on the deal, your track record, a whole lot of variables. It could affect what those percentages are. Sometimes in funds, the investors own 80% of the LLC and get 80% of the cash flow. They've got all the money in there. The sponsors have signed on the loan, done the deal. But usually it's closer to 60-40, 50-50 in those type of deals, especially when you're dealing with individual investors with no liquidity event. So depending on what your goals are, why you're using other people's money, how long you're going to be holding it, what your strengths are, what your track record is, all that comes into play as you organize your LLC with your attorney and your partners. But just know that a good attorney is critical. And know that there are two basic types of deal structures with a million variations in each, but two basic type of deal structures you can do. Now, I've used the term preferred return a number of times. Let's talk about what a preferred return is. So a preferred return is, let's say an investor has a preferred return of 8%. What that usually means is that the cash flow coming out of the project, the first 8%, if somebody invests $100,000, the first $8,000 of cash flow goes to them. They get the preferred return of 8% on the money that they've invested. Now, what is the preferred return you should offer? The market dictates that. So when I first got going in the self-storage business using other people's money, what I did was I just assumed my investors, if they're going to invest with me or consider investing with me, they're also looking at other deals. So I looked at other deals. I looked at other storage deals. I looked at apartment deals. I looked at if they wanted to invest money in commercial real estate, what's my competition offering? I saw that at the time my competition was usually offering around a 10 to 12% preferred return on their money, and their money was typically invested for about 5 years. And these were with syndicators who were in the business, had a track record. So I wanted to make my deal be appealing and stand up next to an experienced syndicator. So I offered the top, which was 12% preferred return, and I basically wanted to use their money to buy and create the value, and then we would still control the project and get the majority of the cash flow once the value was created. So we decided to do the liquidity event route, where they get their money back, they feel safe in the deal, we're motivated to hurry up and create the value, then they get their money back, and they made 12% on their money while it was in the deal. And once they get their money back, they still get 30-35% of the upside and ongoing cash flow. We found for ourselves and the investors we were talking to, that's what was needed to get started. Today, I'm not offering 12%. The rates have gone down. We would be offering an 8% preferred return today on the same type of deal structure. So the market dictates what the preferred return is, and to some degree what the terms are in the offering. Now, don't just sit around and try to figure this out by yourself. Your lawyer is probably the most important team member you have at this stage of the game. Now, you might say, well, I don't know who to call. Well, odds are you have a real estate attorney you've dealt with. Start there. I would be asking the question, do you know about syndication and private placement? Your attorney is obligated to tell you if they know, if they feel like they can support you or not. And if they can't, ask them to refer somebody to you that can. Interview them. You can talk to two. It's rare that you would ever be in a location in the United States where there wouldn't be somebody in your town or very close by that's not experienced in private placement and syndication. I can't think of a place in the U.S. where you would be hard-pressed to find that attorney. Find that attorney, and my what we found that worked for us was to have an attorney that knew not just this deal we're trying to do, but what our long-term, short-term goals are. And we use the same attorney for all of our deals and deal structure, and they really support us and help us. There's no way I could have done what I've done in self-storage without a great attorney that I have a lot of confidence in. Most important team member you're going to have in the fundraising or capital raising business of getting in self-storage. So your assignment is, if you're going to be using other people's money, make sure you have, we talked about this last week, and it's in the first phase of the boot camp, designing your business strategy. Design your business strategy, and if you don't have a, and you're going to be using other people's money and you don't have a legal support team, begin to reach out and figure out, interview and find out who your attorney's going to be. And begin thinking about what type of deal structure you think would work best for your goal, so that when you go talk to your legal advisor, you can start with what your thoughts are and then get their input. If you don't have one and you're in the, and you're going to be using other people's money, I would love it if by next week, when we go into the third episode in this series, you've at least identified who you think your lawyer's going to be. So in the next episode, we're going to dive deeper into this world of raising money. And I will see you there. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's the financial analysis tool we use that creates the financial analysis that ultimately is what we show our investors when we're asking them to invest in a deal with us. If you're using Excel, great, but I invite you to look and explore using the Storage World Analyzer. You can go to storageworldanalyzer.com or creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Click the Storage World Analyzer tab. I look forward to being with you next week in the third episode in this series of Raising Capital Today to grow your self-storage business. See you there.